This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. We have all kinds of questions, funny ones, great ones, angering ones, all kinds of stuff. We're going to cram as much as we possibly can into the final hour of the show before I check out of here until Monday. Before we do that, I'm going to talk about Maria Salazar and the GOP, to be specifically. Chris, go ahead and grab the, you know what to grab. You know what to grab. Remember that, yes, the communists, the Democrats are evil, and we have to defeat them. We can never allow them back into power. But also remember that we still have a lot of cleanup and clean out to do of the Republican Party. Maria Salazar, after the election, you know, the election didn't go our way on Tuesday. So what did she do? What was her response to it? Was it to re-message things on the economy? What was Maria Salazar's response? I think your response to the election loss on Tuesday is pretty revealing. Here's what Maria said.
The Hispanic vote is not guaranteed. Hispanics married President Trump. They're only dating the GOP. I've been warning it. If the GOP does not deliver, we will lose the Hispanic vote all over the country. And unfortunately, it happened last night. In New Jersey and Virginia, Hispanics moved back more than 25 points to the Democratic Party. 25 points. Hispanics want the same thing as any other American: secure borders, a good economy, get rid of the bad hombres. But they also want to give dignity to those who have been here for years and do not have a criminal record. People that may not have a legality, but who have been.
Okay, I can't deal with her English anymore. It's just more than I can handle at this point in time. I'm in no mood for it at all. In response to an election loss, immediately, Maria Salazar starts campaigning for her tribe immediately. Very tribal. Immediately. Hey, amnesty. That's what we need. Amnesty. So she may not have a brain in her head.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know, freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean? Do you have to shoot down Russian planes? I mean.
Of course.
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
She doesn't have a brain, but she doesn't think she has to. She's there for a tribe. And by the way, Maria, I have all kinds of Latino friends and Latinos in my neighborhood. I'm almost positive they would never vote again if the GOP passed amnesty. They would lose their freaking minds if the GOP passed amnesty. Just a heads up. Dear Shogun Oracle, this morning at church, there was a newcomer who was a face talker. Just got right in my personal space. I'd take a step back and he'd move in. This happened twice before I had to hold my hand out with the stop sign. It turns out my pastor had told him to do this to mess with me and was laughing hysterically watching this unfold. Two questions. What should be proper social etiquette in dealing with personal space invaders? And what should be done about diabolical pastors who encourage such a thing? One, you're very blessed to have a pastor who's also just a dude. I've had a couple like that in my life. They'd show up at sporting events and root loudly against the other team. And people around him would be like, "Pastor." And he said, "This is a competition, is it not? Just a dude, right? Your pastor should be a dude, not some effeminate Nancy nancing around up on stage. A dude, real dude. One, that's cool. Two, I can tell you what to do about face talkers, but you're not going to like it. Nobody likes my solutions for things, even though in the back of their mind, they know the solution is effective. What have I told you, for instance, people who talk on speakerphone or FaceTime or loudly play video games or music or whatever on their phone in public settings, maybe in an airport or the doctor's office. How do you take care of that problem? What do? You do it back. You pull out your phone. If someone's doing it, you crank the volume all the way to the max and you fire up the music, baby. Fire up the videos. Believe me when I tell you, it has 100% effectiveness. They will look. They will notice. Now, maybe they'll just be annoyed by you, but oftentimes you can see it come over them. Oh, I shouldn't do that. But the problem is, as with so many of my solutions, it makes people uncomfortable. It makes people feel like a bad person. And so people will say what they always say to me, there has to be another way. Let me tell you how to deal with face talkers, and you're not going to like it, but it works. Spit on them. Let me explain. I don't want you to hawk a loogie and spit in their face. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, I've done it multiple times in my life, these people. You just get a little extra spit on your tongue, and then you just start talking really, really breathily. And I don't think breathily is a word, but you know exactly what I'm saying. You just gather up a little extra spit on your tongue. You'd be like, yeah, I can't believe the Steelers lost yesterday. And let me tell you what, buddy. Just like that, personal space comes back. Just like that. That's the only way. People want a nice way out of things. But oftentimes, there is no nice way. You see, and let me explain, because this applies in so many different ways in life. People with values who have good parents, maybe you had a good upbringing, good mom, good dad, maybe you had both, good coaches, good teachers, whatever. People with a good upbringing, they don't realize how unique it is, and they don't realize that the rest of the planet doesn't have that, and they have to be taught. They have to be taught that they're doing wrong. Ob gets mad at me on the road. You know when she gets mad at me on the road? She's always worried we're going to get shot. When there's somebody putzing along in the left lane, just sauntering along, barely going the speed limit, if at all, in the passing lane, oftentimes with a line of cars behind them of people who want to get by. When I finally pass, which I have to pass on the right, which is unsafe and you don't want to do it, when I pass that person, I will mean mug the daylights out of them. I will practically press my face to the side window and make dang sure they look over and see me glaring at them. And Ob is mortified every time. Don't do that. Why do you have to do that? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be rude. That is a human being who was never taught by their parents or grandparents or pastors. They were never taught by the influences in their life a really, really key thing about life. The world doesn't revolve around you. There are, in fact, I swear this is true, there are other people on the road. There are other people in society, as a matter of fact. The whole world doesn't orbit around you. That person has never been taught that. So on the highway, they'll put the cruise control on 55, never look in the rearview mirror, and just go putzing along, completely oblivious that they're screwing up traffic for everybody. Unless you teach them, unless I teach them, they will go through the rest of their lives operating as if they're the only people on the planet. Sometimes adults have to be taught lessons because their parents never taught them those lessons. When you get someone who speaks on speakerphone loudly, watches movies in a public setting on their phone, you have an obligation to teach that person a lesson. Not out of hate, not out of spite, because you care for them. Their parents never cared enough for them. You do. Teach them. Teach them. Pull out that phone. And by the way, you can find the loudest, most cringy song in the world. I like to do that. I have some really bad ones on my phone from kids' birthday parties and stuff. Oh, I'm blasting it loudly. Oh, is that disrupting you? Wow, that's a real shame. It's annoying when people do that in public, isn't it? Sorry, we can move on. Let's talk about taps. Let's talk about the House and the Senate. Let's talk about other things. Let's talk about urgency. I am not a used car salesman, and I don't sell RVs anymore. But there's something that used to happen when I sold used RVs, because those were rare, a used one in good condition. I would have to make a phone call that I hated. I would have to tell clients of mine who were looking for them, you need to hurry. That this is going to be gone in a day or two. You know, I don't say this often. You need to hurry. If you've been considering Legacy Box, and I know you have, digitizing your home movies, your pictures, if you are interested in getting this to somebody as a Christmas gift, and it is the most precious Christmas gift you will ever give to somebody, you need to hurry. They not only have a big Black Friday special going on right now, they will get it to you by Christmas, but you need to hurry. I'm not going to be here the first week of December telling you you can have it by Christmas. That window will be slammed shut. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Get your box. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Cannot get the smile off my face on a Thursday. Maybe that's just the three dog night in me, though. Let's get back to the questions because we don't have much time left. Jesse, if the Democrats win back the House and Senate, what happens? Well, if the Democrats win back the House, Donald Trump is going to be impeached. Stop for a second, because let's lay this out. I don't want anybody to get confused. Remember, the United States House of Representatives has the power to impeach the president, right? Impeaching the president, though, does not remove him from office. If the United States House of Representatives impeaches Donald Trump, and they will when they take back the House, or if they take back the House again, it is the Senate who then votes to remove him. Even if Democrats take back the House of Representatives, they will not have 60 votes in the Senate by any measure. They will not have 60 votes in the Senate to remove him. Will it be annoying? Will it be bad for the country? Of course, all these things will happen. But Donald Trump will be impeached. That's one of those things that will happen. Another thing that will happen, let's assume they have the Senate too. There won't be any more of our judges who get through. We have a Senate full of low-T GOPers like Lindsey Graham. And what they will do is when a Democrat is president, they'll say things like, well, he gets the judges he wants. Ha ha, love you, South Carolina. And then Democrats, when they take control of the Senate, they'll say, screw you, that judge doesn't go through. I know, it's terrible, but until Republicans start getting off their butts and voting in primaries, these are the losers we are stuck with. So Lindsey Graham and the others won't be able to do anything to stop it. No more judges through. That's a big deal. Those are the two kind of big things that will happen. Another thing, maybe you consider it big, maybe you don't, is there won't be any legislation at all. If there is a piece of legislation that passes through a Democrat House and Democrat Senate, it will be the worst thing you've ever seen in your entire life, and every Republican who votes for it should resign in disgrace. But there probably won't be any legislation. Now, why? What's the game? What's the gamble? Well, I think Well, the shutdown is actually a good example. This Democrat shutdown here that's apparently coming to an end. We'll see. This Democrat shutdown. What was the game? What was the gamble? Well, they were banking on a couple things. One, they were banking on the American public blaming the shutdown on Republicans. They wanted pain. They wanted people to lose SNAP benefits. They wanted the military to go without pay. They wanted travel to be delayed. They're canceling 10% of flights. I had a flight of mine canceled already. They wanted these things to happen. They wanted the American people to hurt. They wanted the American people to hurt because they thought it would give them leverage in negotiations going forward. This is how sick and demonic these people are. Now, as far as them having the House and the Senate goes, what's going to be the game? The exact same thing. Remember, we've been talking about how miserable people are economically. People right now are unhappy with the economy. A large enough portion of the country is that Republicans may be in trouble in the midterms. Well, if Democrats can stall anything, just stop it all after the midterms. So let's fast forward. We're just using our forward thinking here. If the Democrats take back the House and or Senate at the midterms, and they just flat out stop any legislation, well, Donald Trump's in the White House. And a large quantity of Americans are so stupid, they think the president runs everything and passes laws that they don't know anything about the three. They don't know what you know. They don't know anything about the three branches of government and stuff like that. Nothing gets passed. Let's fast forward. It's the year 2028. Gavin Newsom is up against J.D. Vance to be president of the United States of America. And let's say you're not you. Let's say you're a normie. The economy's bad. Republicans, in your mind, you know what you're going to say? If you're one of these low-info normies, Republicans had 4 years and didn't do anything about it. I still can't afford anything. I still am working two jobs. I gave Republicans 4 years. Gavin Newsom's up there, and he's promising to give me stuff. He's already said if he gets elected, he's going to pay off my student loans. He's going to give me this. He's going to give me free this and free that. What have Republicans given me? I've given them 4 years. I'm voting Gavin Newsom. I'm not saying that's going to work. I'm not saying that's going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. But I am definitely saying that is the play Democrats are going to make. Make things as miserable and horrible in the country as humanly possible and bank on the low infos out there, the low information voters, bank on them being too stupid and apathetic to figure out where to appropriately assign the blame. Then, if all goes well, you hope you steal the White House in 2028, and then they'll have a lot of us killed and imprisoned. They're going to. Everyone thinks I'm radical when I say that. I would argue you should open up a history book. This is always the trajectory communists go. They're going to do worse next time. They will. They're going to do a lot worse. You better get your chalk going now. Better get your T levels up now. That way we can dig in and work hard and do the blocking and tackling we need to do to ensure that day never, ever, ever comes. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will have you feeling good. Even better than you feel when you're listening to Three Dog Night. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk. It puts me in a good mood. I have so much energy. When you've taken it for years like I have, you just maintain that all the time. All the time. You feel good, feel ready to go. Tonight, when I get off work, going for a walk. Nice long one. Just a nice long walk in the evening. This happens to be that teeny tiny 15-minute window in Texas where the weather is bearable, so I'm going to go home, throw on my shoes and shorts, and I'm going to go walking because I just feel good. You want to feel like that all the time? Chuck.com/Jesse. CHOQ.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. So I need to remind you, one, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But I got this email. You know, on Medal of Honor Monday, if the guy passed away, we play taps. If at the opening of the show, we honor the fallen, you know, the fallen in training, things like that, which we've done many times before, we play taps in their honor. It's something that's played in their honor. And I got this email, and I guess I never thought about it, but it's a good email. Jesse, I'm not a veteran of the military, but I am a 33-year policeman. What's my protocol for when taps is played for a fallen soldier? Hand on the heart, question mark? Thanks for any consideration. Okay, so I want to say this. One, don't major on the minor when it comes to honoring the fallen. Meaning, I know there's certain protocols and you should do this and should do this and should do that, but it is your heart that matters in that moment. In my house, I'll give you an example. We'll come back to taps. In my house, 1 year, this is back when I watched the NFL. It's a few years ago. 1 year, we went to a neighbor's house for the Super Bowl. This neighbor has another couple they're best friends with. So they're always together. It's really wonderful. They're great. They're close friends. Sounds good. But they're always together. And the other couple, not my neighbor, the other couple, obviously it's a woman. Well, one of them is a woman. The national anthem starts to play for the Super Bowl. Now, in my house, whatever happens during the national anthem, you are not going to talk. You are not going to be on your phone. If it is a sporting event, whatever we're watching, when the national anthem is on, the bare minimum is you will shut up. We like to stand up. Maybe you're not in a place where you can do that in that moment, and that's okay. You're not going to get in trouble unless you're running your freaking mouth or you're on your phone. Show some respect for your country. Shut your freaking mouth. In public, my boys know you will stop moving. The hat will come off and you will put your hand over your heart. Your hat will come off. You will shut up and stop moving. And they're just wonderful about this now. They know we talked about it long enough, and people who don't do it, now they're mad at them. Dad, did you see that guy? They're mad at him, which I love. Okay. But it's not necessarily about the standing or the hat. It's about the reverence. It's about where your heart is in that moment. When we play taps to honor the fallen, and in fact, I think I'm going to in a moment. It just feels right. When we play taps to honor the fallen, it's not about what you specifically do. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you can't stand, put your hand over your heart. Maybe you can't close your eyes. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe for you, I will tell you, if I was at home, if I was in a place I could do it, I would stand up. I don't know that I would put my hand over my heart. I might, but I would stand up. I would definitely remove my hat. It's not about the hat or the heart or the standing. It's about respect. It's about showing reverence to people who gave their lives for this country, who are no longer here with us to celebrate. We got holidays coming up. We got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas. Yes, I know, Chris, Hanukkah. But we have things coming up. And this is a time that is particularly hard on families who have lost someone. Those guys gave that up. No Christmas this year for them. No Thanksgiving this year for the young men and women who've given their lives for this country. What you specifically do is not as important as just the respect level and showing reverence for it. And in fact, before we get back to the goofy questions and everything else, we're going to do that right now. All right?
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on. Oh, I know that was a little heavy. Speaking of a little heavy, Trump made an announcement today. It's going to look, the audio is a little rough. It's a little faint. So lean in, turn up the radio. He made an announcement today.
Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk have agreed to offer their most popular GLP-1 weight loss drug. I call it the Fat Drug, remember? At drastic discounts.
Those fat drugs. I think that's the injectable stuff. Those fat drugs, they're now going to be available at a huge discount. So, not to weigh you down, let's lift people back up. Big shout out to the feminists out there. A big day for you. A big day for your big life. Hey, Jesse, is it elitist to have very little patience and feel extreme frustration with all the people running around as if the end of the world is happening now, when hyper-informed people like myself and probably most of your listeners have known and watched this situation unfold our whole lifetime? Sometimes I feel like I shouldn't have this visceral, and he explains what that means, I know, reaction to all these people. Am I the bad guy? I absolutely detest elitists and communists, and it seems like perhaps my California upbringing is leading me to that. I thought I see what the great Oracle has to say about it. Said he listens on Spotify. Remember, you can listen to the podcast version, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son? Chris, it's New Testament, so you probably wouldn't remember. But the story, Chris claims he knows. Anyway, the prodigal son story. Father, rich father, has two sons. One of his sons decides he wants to go be a party animal. Says, Dad, give me all the money for my inheritance. Dad gives him all the money. Son goes off, blows the whole thing on beer in Las Vegas and everything else. Whatever the biblical version of that was back then. Ends up flat, broken, busted, and miserable. Comes back home. Father sees him from a long way off. Father runs out, hugs him, kisses him, puts a robe on him, and says, hey, the finest meal in the world is about to be yours. I am so happy my son's home. Everyone knows that part of the story. The part of the story that's kind of forgotten is the other son who didn't run off. He didn't go to Las Vegas. He's a little bit offended. Wait a minute. I did the right thing this whole time. I didn't go to Vegas. I didn't do that. You're not throwing a feast for me. Why does Dirtball's son get? But the point is, you're happy everyone's back home and should be. You will have an elevated place above the other, but you can still be happy he's back home. I bring this up to you because I struggled with this mightily during COVID. As soon as they started sniffing around about that 15 days to slow the spread, I lost my mind. I told everyone what a disaster it was. You remember how dumb it was, and I've lost my mind. And then so many people kind of ignored it or thought I was being extreme. Friends of mine texting me, Jesse, are you sure? And then pick your timeline. 15 days later, a month later, 6 months later, people start coming out of the woodwork. Man, you were right. Man, you were right. Man, you were right. And you know what I struggled with? You piece of crap. Where were you when it mattered? What does that do now? Why weren't you caught up with me back when it mattered? And you know what? That was wrong. Everybody wakes up in their own time. Everyone discovers the truth in their own time. If you happen to be ahead of others, good. That's a good thing. You don't want to be dead last, but when people wake up, if your liberal Aunt Peggy walks in the house tomorrow and says, hey, I realize communism is wrong. It's evil. It makes me miserable. I think I'm going to start finding out about freedom and America and loving this place. It would be easy to be like, you idiot. You voted for Biden. You piece of... Open up your arms. Give her a hug. An extra Xanax. No, I'm kidding. Give her a hug and bring her into the house. All right? Also give her a Burna, because now that she doesn't love violent criminals anymore, she's going to want to stop one of them from dragging her in the woods and beating her to death. And that's why you need a Burna pistol launcher. They're compact launchers. They're the size of a smartphone. Their compact launchers fit in your purse, in your pocket. They sell holsters for them, and they're non-lethal. So they're legal everywhere. Security guards all across the country carry these. Byrna is carried by SWAT teams. They shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls. Whap! When it hits, it hurts. And then this cloud of misery incapacitates you for a while. You get to live legal in all 50 states. All 50 states. Go to Byrna.com. B-Y-R-N-A. Byrna.com. All right? We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Chris, if you're wondering what I was just doing, Jewish producer Chris is glaring at me right now through the glass because I just scratched like my neck. And then I looked at my fingers, which I realize now, in hindsight, that probably doesn't look that great. No, it's not that it's gross, Chris. Let me explain what happened. I got a haircut right before I came in today. Don't say what hair. That's rude, okay? There's enough that grows that I need to go get it trimmed up, right? I have to do a good job. I went and got a haircut. I didn't have time to go home and shower. I have been in agony for hours with these little hairs. They're all down my back. And I'm just, now you don't know it because I've just chosen to tough it out for you. But I am miserable. What, Chris? Why don't I get the bald guy shaver thing? I don't know that I'm ready to go skin bald. I don't know that I'm ready to do that. Why do I have to go skin bald? Can't I have... It's not that there's nothing up top. There's not much, but not much is not nothing. Now, is it? There's something there. Yes, there is. Don't shake your head. And I don't think I'm going to do it. I have it ruled out. Like taking something or something and getting some hair back for one last ride. Why? You know what? You say this because you have a big mop of hippie hair. I know. I can't wait till you go bald. I hope it's next year. I feel bad for your lovely bride, but I want to make fun of you, and that's more important than anything else. What? When's my flight to Turkey? I've considered it. You know, everyone who's mean keeps sending me these really mean emails about hair replacement therapy. I'm never spending that kind of money. God only knows what they charge for that. One, you got to fly to Turkey. That's costing you a couple grand, I bet you. Then, I bet you that's $10,000 plus... It's a Muslim country. I want to see Turkey, but I also have hesitations. Maybe not the same amount of hesitation Chris would have, but I still have hesitation with going to the food. The food is subpar. It looks subpar. I don't want to go. Jesse, we live in this lady lives in Connecticut. Apparently the few Republicans they had just got wiped out. We want to move to a red state, but we're hesitant due to difficulties obtaining services for our special needs daughter somewhere else. Since listening to you since COVID, I've tried to get more involved, but it's like swimming upstream. Advice on how to stay hopeful. P.S. I love your history lessons, especially how you explain the information in layman's terms and parenthetically, so it's easy to understand. Chris, what's parenthetically mean? Can you look it up? She didn't explain it. Everyone else explains it. That's a huge word. Anyway, setting aside how parental I was with the whole thing, how do you stay hopeful? Well, there are some areas in this country that... I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know that you should have a ton of hope for some of these deep blue areas. I don't want to give you false hope. Some of these deep blue areas are really, really bad. And for the future, as long as the Democrat Party continues to go the way it's going, they're going to get worse before they get better. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be hopeful for the country at large. And if I may, if you're putting your hope in Republicans or putting your hope in politics, if that's where your joy lies, you're going to be disappointed over and over and over again. Remember when I warned you that Republicans, they were going to end up cutting some kind of a deal with Democrats to end the shutdown? You do remember when I warned you about that, right? Like I said, if you're putting your hope in politics of the Republican Party, you're going to be served a heaping helping of disappointment your entire life. Like the disappointment Chris's wife is going to have when his hair starts falling out. It's going to be day after day after day of that for you. And I don't want that for you. I want it for Chris. I don't want it for you. All right?
And now...
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, I don't get why our side wants to deport criminal illegals. They've already proven they can sneak into our country, but we simply send them home. They'll just come back. They belong in our jails like American criminals. I'm totally game for this, but remember, this is why I campaigned loudly and continue to do so for prison camps on foreign soil. Yes, Chris, Greenland is a big one, but I think countries like France actually had it right, where they had penal islands, penal colonies on islands. The world kind of got turned off by that because of all the disease and murder and everything else that happened. Little things like that. But if you enter the United States of America illegally, you know, we have all these disgusting sex offenders and murders and things like that. You should know you're going to a tropical island and they don't serve Mai Tais there. Jesse, in the name of a just and merciful Trinidadian line cook.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
What do I need to do to get honeypotted? I could be the human intelligence they're looking for. This is in reference to the Russian and Chinese women spies who are coming over here and seducing American men in power in order to gather secrets. I don't know whether I should be mortified or prideful about the fact that I'm pretty sure I have the only audience in conservative radio that wrote in emails signing up for such a thing. I don't know what to do with you, but I do know I will talk to you again on Monday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.